an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. I am so excited about today's show here at Life Changes. We have the very famous and beautiful Karushka, who I am proud to call a friend. And I am sure so many people out there, millions of people out there, feel like she is a friend because they have worn her clothes. And from everybody that I know that has worn Karushka's bodywear, they feel like this is a part of them. They don't even part with them. They give them away when they don't fit anymore, or they keep them. I mean, it's just it's a phenomenon, and so it's exciting to have her on the show and be able to talk to her about her life and how she created this Karushka bodywear phenomenon and how she became a leader of industry. Her life has changed so many times. She has changed so many people's lives. And now she's out there changing the world. So I can't think of a better guest. And so we'll have her on in just a few minutes here. But before we do, I've been thinking, whatever time of year some of you might be listening to the show from the archives, I'm sure you could put yourself into this very moment where we are in between holidays. We just had Thanksgiving a couple weeks ago, and we're getting ready for the holiday season, whether it's the Jewish holidays or Christmas. We're all getting ready for the season, and there's a hustle and bustle. That's kind of exciting, I must admit, and there are lights everywhere, and it's all kind of cool. But I started to notice more and more over the past couple of years, and certainly this year as well, as I'm thinking about things that we're going to talk about at Life Changes, started to notice in the stores in conversations with friends and acquaintances, how at Thanksgiving everybody was talking about the turkey and the fact that they have to make a turkey, or they don't want to make a turkey, or they're tired of making turkeys, and who's going to make the turkey this year, and how are we going to make the turkey, and last year the turkey was dry, and it was turkey, turkey, turkey. And I thought about the fact that I didn't hear a lot of people talking about Thanksgiving per se, like, I'm really grateful for this, or I'm really grateful for that. Of course, in my circle of friends, I hear that a lot. But in general, it was more about the turkey, the turkey. And I feel like we've lost the meaning of Thanksgiving. It was so much about the turkey and the food and who's going to make what. And I don't want to make string beans this year, and I hate pumpkin pie or yams. And it's like, wait a minute. And I was thinking, remember that I Love Lucy episode where Lucy was pregnant and she was finally going to give birth to her baby? And Ethel and Ricky and Fred were all practicing how it was going to be when she finally said, I'm ready to give birth. And she finally said that. And everybody jumped up and they did exactly what they thought they were going to do. And they did it not so perfectly, but they did it. But they left Lucy at home. I feel like that's what we're doing. We're leaving the Thanksgiving part at home, or in the back of our minds, and we're focusing on the turkey. And it's interesting how here we are getting ready for more holidays and really more Thanksgiving, more things to be thankful for. And let me just take the example of, for those people who believe that there was a Jesus and Jesus was born, and Jesus was born possibly around this time. Some scientists and astronomers and whatever say that Jesus was probably born later on in the year, but let's just say he was born around this time. Was he really born on the 24th? but let's say he even was. Last year, on the 26th, some of my family members and I went shopping in the stores, and I was almost appalled to find the items for sale at sales that I had never seen before, discounted from 50, 60, 70, 80, which I had never seen before, to 90 and 95% off the day after the famous Christmas, December 25th. And I was thinking, 95% off, I wonder what it would have been like for the parents, especially when the economy was what it was last year, and maybe for some what it is still this year, what it would be like to give a child a small one gift, a token of, this is because it's Christmas. This is because we're celebrating Jesus' birth, if that's what we're really celebrating. And then the day after Christmas, I'll buy you whatever you want. The reason I'm thinking this is because if I were a child, and I was once, and I didn't get a lot of gifts, and someday maybe we'll talk about that, maybe next week. Didn't get a lot of gifts, my parents didn't have a lot of money, and we attributed a lot of value to what we did receive. Nowadays, a lot of kids are very fortunate, or maybe even unfortunate, to receive a lot of gifts. And I'm not saying don't buy a lot of gifts, but I know that a lot of people that I know can't afford them, and they worry about it for a month or so before Christmas, and they say, I can't afford to buy all this stuff, but somehow they do, and usually that somehow is by putting it on a credit card. And then for the rest of the year, they're trying to play catch-up, and some of them are working two jobs, and some people are working three jobs nowadays, because they bought these gifts before Christmas. And I just wonder what it would be like if we waited. Would the children have an opportunity to enjoy their parents more throughout the year? To have their parents be less stressed because they have less credit card debt? I'm just wondering. If the parents said, this year we're going to celebrate Jesus' birth, if that's what we're celebrating. If we take Jesus out of the picture, okay, this year we're celebrating Christmas on the 26th. And you can open your presents then, or on the 27th, or when the Magi supposedly came, or on January 6th. And in the meantime, they could buy their gifts at 75, 80, 90, 95% off, and give their kids all the same things that they want to spoil them with, or more, and just be less stressed. And maybe then we could also teach the kids that this season might be about giving, this season might be about love, this season might also be about receiving, but it doesn't have to be on that day. I don't think Jesus would get offended if we got less presents on his birthday, assuming he was even born on that day. I think maybe he would be happier to have happier people the rest of the year who bought the presents after Christmas. I'm not saying this is the only solution. I'm not saying that the sales would then be postponed 2 days later and not start until the 28th. I'm just saying we have a choice, and that we might be missing the boat. We might be throwing out the baby with the bathwater, or forgetting Lucy at home with the baby and rushing to the hospital and making Thanksgiving all about turkeys instead of thanking and Thanksgiving, and making Christmas all about gifts instead of either the birth of Jesus or love or joy or peace amongst our fellow human beings. Those are my thoughts today. I'd love to elaborate on them, and someday I will. But in the meantime, I can't wait to bring on Karushka. There is so much I could say about Karushka. And frankly, expect the unexpected. I mean, what more do I need to say? That was Karushka's, that was her tagline. And it follows her to this day. Karushka is the founder of one of the most successful specialty apparel companies in the world. She is known worldwide by millions and millions, actually not just known, loved, and I do mean loved. Karushka literally created the bodywear concept, and the market was changed forever because of her and her designs. Today, the bodywear and activewear industry is a multi-million dollar business, and Karushka is the pioneer that set the boom in motion. She will be speaking to us about her successes, her losses, and the dealings in between, as well as her new internet video show coming up, The Cancer Answer. Well, she will be the host of Hope, and I can't wait to talk to her about that as well. So I welcome to the show, Karushka.
Hi, darling. How are you? Speaking of expecting the unexpected, did you notice my earrings?
I do. Oh, they're both different.
Do you remember about a year ago at a dinner party I had?
Yes.
And I said, jewelry doesn't mean anything to me. I'm not materialistic. And I threw something on the floor.
Yes.
Well, a week later, all my jewelry was robbed.
Oh, wow.
But you know what? I cried for 5 minutes. I was ready to let go of it.
Wow.
So it's very unexpected. And words and thoughts are powerful.
You know, actually, I remember at that particular dinner party. A lot of things. I actually remember a lot of things. Be afraid. I'm one of the ones who remembers.
Oh, honey. You just go ahead and talk. Laugh. That's really the key to life. That's it. We can end the show now.
It's the truth. Well, but actually, that's what I was going to say. I remember we played a little game, and one of the... I won't talk about that one. But anyway, one of the games was to answer questions, and one of the questions that I got was, anybody at the table, who would you like to be? Now, anytime at any Karushka party, you have the famous of famous and the all these wonderful people, and I picked you. And when everybody agreed that that was a good pick, you said, I want to know why. And everybody started talking. And you said, no, I want to know Filippo. Why Filippo? Because, someone said, oh, because you're fabulous. Somebody said, because. And I said, because of the way you look at life and the way you treat life and you live your life.
I was so relieved that's what you said. I was, and I was totally shocked when you said me, and it was so flattering that you saw me as I am, and that I do live life to the fullest. I didn't realize you knew me so well.
Well, I not only know you so well, I love you so well, and one of the things that's fascinated about you, getting to know you over the years, is your childhood. I mean, it started... The magic started then. I mean, literally magic. Can we talk about that?
Oh, sure. Well, let me see. I knew at a very young age, I never had fear of what would I be when I grow up. I just felt that I was destined to be on the planet for a purpose, even at a young age. And until the age of 5, I had the ability to make spoons go in circles in the air and silverware fly around. I had imaginary friends. I'm sure they were there. They're probably ETs. And my mother was a Polish opera singer, and there were two pianos in the house. So we grew up with lots of music and singing and all positive. It was like living in a fairy tale, in a movie. It wasn't real.
Ooh.
And it was so loving and feminine, frankly. It took me a long time to figure you men out.
you figured us out, have you? Okay.
No, I'm
That's a book that needs to be written. And I know a book is being written, actually, about you. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
All right. So that was your childhood. Now, when did you know, because you've made such a big splash in the industry of bodywear, when did you know that you had to sew or be a part of that?
Okay, well, my first... Oh, the industry?
Well, no.
Well, okay, my first love of sewing came from my nanny. My mother... I was raised by a single mother who had worked nights, and I had a German nanny that taught me to sew on an old Singer that you had to pedal. And
now, why did she teach you to sew?
Oh, because I drove her crazy. And she was an alcoholic, and I didn't know what that was then. So I kept running up to her room when she'd leave and throw all her booze out. And she was really mad. But she wasn't allowed to strike me because she just wasn't. My mother didn't believe in that. So she taught me to sew. And I loved it. And I found I had a mechanical ability. And I repaired my mother's 1940s sewing machine, not the 1910 Singer machine, in my nanny's room, and I just kept sewing.
And wow.
All the cats in the neighborhood wore dresses, even if they were male. I did Barbie doll collections by the age of probably 9, and I sewed all my own clothing by the age of 12.
Wow.
So I just loved it. It was a hobby for me, though. I was going to be a doctor and a scientist because there was an egg inside me that didn't hatch until this year. I didn't know what it was for. It's like being pregnant for 50 years.
Mm.
You should try it. It's very interesting. It makes your sex drive high. But
I don't think we men have those eggs.
Oh, I'll give you one.
You know, it's funny you should say that because when I was going to talk about the book, I was going to say, I can't wait till the book that comes out is made into a movie, because I want to be in the movie. I want to play one of your lovers. One of your ex-lovers.
Okay. There's plenty of room. I have many. And I've already got, Hugh Jackman's already on the list.
All right.
And not to
name Wait, as off. Lovers or as attached to the movie?
No, we weren't lovers, but he wants to be in the movie.
Oh, wonderful.
And so does, he was married to Tom Cruise, that beautiful redhead. Nicole Kidman has been calling and calling my friend, our mutual friend, saying, so is the movie cast yet? She wants to play me as young black countess.
Okay. Well, let's go back. So you were young and sewing, and you started making your own clothes. Did anybody else benefit from your sewing?
A little bit my mother, because she was a Polish opera singer that now was living in California, and I started repairing her costumes, sewing beads on and fixing them. And then she retired when she was about 50. That means I was 10. And when I was in high school, I would make clothing for my girlfriends.
Wow.
And it was just natural.
I wonder if anybody still has anything that you made back then.
They do.
They do. Even back then, they were keeping them.
They were. I'm so shocked. But now and then, at a party or some event, someone will walk up to me with a framed garment that's all threadbare. And it's really so sweet that how much they cherish the garments.
You know, I'm surprised that you would be so shocked because of the love that goes into the garments. And you said this about your whole line. It wasn't just the ones that you made by hand. It was the line and how you wanted to make sure that they were made by certain people, that they were made in-house and not by children in China that were...
I still feel that way.
Yes. It's one of the reasons why you're not in the industry right now.
Yes, it is. When I started, I think about 20% of clothing was made, this was 30 years ago, overseas, and about 80% was made in America as American garments. When I went out earlier this year, which was great, that was a chapter meant to close, only 1% of American clothing is made in America.
Wow.
And that bothered me always. I would never go sign up with a licensor or sell my company to anyone that would make things in slave labor because I spent too much of my heart to protect the garments, and they were like children.
Mm.
They were given birth certificates and everything,
the
way they were numbered. And
really?
They all had names.
And people felt it.
Mm-hmm.
When you wear it, people feel it.
And in the care label, with it, every garment was a positive message that I never told anyone about.
Wow.
And I got lots of fan mail, and people said, I don't know why, but I feel so beautiful when I wear your clothes.
Well, because they were feeling what you were putting out. And speaking of fan mail, we've gotten so much fan mail. I've gotten somebody who has gone into her closet and pulled out all her Karushka stuff and has been looking at it and just couldn't wait to hear the show. Another person wrote and said hi. Another person wrote, Karushka, I am a huge fan for many years. You are a role model, and I respect you very much. Angela from who knows where.
Thank you.
So this is quite exciting. So here you were. So out of the blue, somebody teaches you to make clothes or to sew just so that you wouldn't drive her crazy. Is that a coincidence or is that destiny?
That's destiny. Everything's destiny. I mean, that's why God's will, people say, it is written, people say. I just say that it always surprised people when I was very young that I was so calm about things, my future and my accomplishments. I just felt very matter of fact that this is what I had to do and how I have to do it.
Well, you then started making clothes, which actually there's another coincidence or destiny too, that you actually started making body wear, right? Your sister?
Yes, that was totally an accident. I was at the right place.
Quote
right
unquote time. Accident. If it's destiny.
It's destiny, right. All right. I had gone to school. I went to 3 different schools. I had wonderful training. I went to couture, manufacturing, and then the sportswear design schools and FIDM. Well, by the time I was 22, I got my first job, and I was a sportswear designer. And then the two gentlemen that owned the business were the Weir brothers downtown, very respected, owned half of downtown. First time I learned about the mafia and that there was such a thing. But they loved me like a daughter, and they brought in somebody, and we developed a new line, and it was called loungewear, a new division, first time ever. And that was interesting. I was a study. I was very quiet behind the scenes. I wore knee socks, braids. And I just loved, I was a very good pattern maker because I was a math major, so I love anything where it's three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. And I had 5 years of working for 2 different companies, and during this time, my older sister was in ballet recitals and was teaching her children. And she would ask me, please make my costumes, please send some leotards. And I would whip them up at home in a few hours and send them over. Well, she walked into Capizio and said, if you don't buy these leotards, these 6 stripe boat neck, 3/4 sleeve leotards, I'll never send my students here again. Mm. And by the way, if you're listening, my sister, thank you. And that was that. Capizio Hollywood bought them. He hated them. He said they were ugly. I cried all the way to the car.
I'm sorry to laugh.
Oh, I had them spit in my face practically. The garment industry is so ruthless. But that's where, luckily, metaphysics, which my mother was a study of, and I had positive thinking my whole life. I was told just beautiful angelic thoughts I went to bed with every night. So I had the armor to fight that kind of negativity. But I still cried. And they sold the next day. So he had to eat crow and make a phone call. And
I love it.
That's my story.
Wow.
And I was an overnight sensation. And it just took me, I would say it took me by surprise, but I do believe in destiny. I just was breathing heavy and trying to keep up with it.
Well, this is exciting. Now, you know, somebody would say, well, somebody famous, actually a lot of famous people, saw your clothes and wanted to wear them for movies and different things they were doing. But you said some of them you actually felt you were destined to bring in.
Well, yes. When I was still living in Hawaii, that, by the way, was my second job working for a manufacturer named Tori Richards. I saw the movie Dance Fever with John Travolta, which was a huge hit. And everyone was waiting in a long line, as I was. And when we came out of the theater, I told my girlfriend, I said, I don't know why, but I know I'm going to meet him. And we're going to somehow do something together. And she thought I was nuts. And I even didn't know where the thought came from. But sure enough, about 3 or 4 years later, I get a phone call from my lawyer. His lawyer contacted my lawyer. My lawyer contacted me, woke me up, and said, John Travolta wants to meet you. And I said, what a silly, you woke me up for this joke, and I hung up on him. So he calls back and goes, don't hang up. Really, really, he wants to meet you. And he's setting up a screening just to meet with you at the lot. So a limousine picks me up. And I go into the screening room, and he is gorgeous. He'd been working with Stallone on his body for Staying Alive.
Mm.
And it was probably the best I think he ever looked physically. And I did get to see him naked. Of course, I had to fit all those things. And I must tell you, every part of him and probably still is perfect, but then it was really perfect.
So much for a family show.
Oh, yes. And all your children should know this. And Italians are the way to go.
Well, being Italian and American, I can't argue with that. So moving right along.
So we ended up working together for several years.
I've met him. I haven't seen him naked. Just
I don't know if you want to see him naked now. I saw the best John Travolta naked ever. Okay. Thank God I have pictures.
And if you're... You do not.
Well, they're going to go in my book, I think.
Okay. That book, I keep hearing about that book. I've actually got to read part of it.
Oh, and, my goodness.
And I won't say anything. Anyway.
You better not.
So, okay. So, you know, the amazing thing is all this is wonderful, and destiny brought you there. And then on one fateful day, actually, pretty much on one day, all these things started to fall down like a house of cards. I mean, that sounded horrific when you first told me about that.
Are you talking about my computer terrorist?
The computer crash, yes.
Well, actually, I had two.
And somebody crashes. Leaving?
Yeah.
To go to the competition?
Oh, yeah, all that stuff. I had two major crashes in my life, and I'm not perfect, by the way. I just want you to all know that now. The first crash was that at the height of my career, I was about 28 now. I'd been in business about 3-4 years, maybe I was 29. And I collapsed. I was going around the country doing shows. I was in every fine top store in the country in 67 countries. It was just wild. And I collapsed with a great deal of pain. It turned out I had a ruptured tubal pregnancy. And that was when I first got cancer. But I managed to keep everything going. I had to take a year off, go to Europe, and I kept the corporate shell open and very secretively tried not to let anyone know how ill I was, because that consciousness grows like a cancer, and everyone will go, oh, poor Karushka, she's going to die of cancer. So I didn't tell anyone.
And that energy would just come back to you and be self-perpetuating.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, you have to be very careful. Gossip's bad. And so,
wow.
Unless it's good and it makes you laugh. And if my dying makes you laugh, then think it all you want.
No.
No. Because I'm strong enough.
Not at all.
No, I'll come back and haunt you. So.
What are you saying? Okay, so.
No, I'm invigorated. I'm full of electricity right now because of the egg finally hatched that's been in me for years.
Well, we'll get to the egg.
Okay.
Let's go back to, so that was the first time that you got cancer, and you did it all without modern medicine. You actually went to Europe and got some old stuff.
I went to Europe
to help you.
And I was in the Italian element.
Here we go again. So the Italian men helped you.
Dr. Savia, he was 75. Believe me, there was no sexual tension then. And none whatsoever. And I'll just be very brief. What cured me was natural spring water. It was alkaline. I was not allowed to read a newspaper, really talk to anybody, use the phone, see TV. And I was staying...
Because it was negative.
In a chateau, yes. And everything was positive, and I was made to laugh every day. I had to watch comedies, and I had body work, and he did use radionics, some machine from the Roaring Twenties, I guess, that he brought over from America. And I met him through Goldie Hawn's psychic. I know it's a wild story, but somehow that's how the link was. I don't know Goldie Hawn. We haven't met, but thank you if you're listening, because you told your psychic, which was my psychic, to meet Dr. Sabia. And I flew there when I had 3 months to live, and I was on death's door. And I was cured total naturally with movement. And I would say it's 50% the mind for my health then. I had colonics every day, and not one bit of negativity was allowed. Mm. Everything was laughter, and only a few people were allowed to visit me and shower me with love. It was a love castle. There goes the fairy tale. It never stops.
Mm. And then the second time.
Okay, so then I come back, and I came back to rooms of fan mail. Why haven't I seen your product? I'm a big fan. And I decided, after going around the world and in search of spirituality, this was a huge changing point for me, to take it easy, that big isn't better, money is just money. My mother used to say that. I just didn't listen. And really, the happiest people I ever met were the poorest people in India and Thailand. And believe it or not, I know in America, everyone out there, if I can give you any hope right this minute, the networks and all the other stations and the media and people will sell you fear and greed. So try to block that out. I will be your hostess of hope.
Mm.
And fear and greed together equals stress. So people are committing suicide and they're going down a really dark path because they feel hopeless. You just don't listen to it.
Mm.
And you follow a path of prosperity and hope. Maybe you're going to grow avocados in your backyard and sell them in the front yard, whatever. You have to follow your heart, and don't let the media out there bring you down. Because remember, they're selling more papers, they're getting more money for their advertisement if they have more dirty laundry or sad or fearful information for you, and it's manipulation. I belong to a number of organizations, and one of them is Unity Church. And when I was when I was visiting not too long ago, a minister friend of mine was speaking, and she said, I'm going to read a newspaper. And so she read it for 15 minutes, and it was all the things we've been hearing. The end of the world, it'll take 50 years to recover. And then when she stopped, she held it up, and it was dated 1893, something over 100 years ago, a very old newspaper. So I'm just telling you, this is not a new story, what's happening. We are being manipulated.
Mm.
And we have to take our power back, which has everything to do with health. And I'll let you maybe now ask me another question.
Thank you for that, actually.
Would you please put your clothes on, though? It's really hard to concentrate. And give me my earrings back.
You are so funny.
No, it's because I'm tickling you.
You are tickling me. Actually, you just did. Don't lie.
No, I did not.
You know, for those of you who are just joining us, I don't know. Where are we? What are we doing here? You might hear laughter. Sal, her assistant, is with us, and I'm glad he is. And actually, a friend of mine wanted to be with us so much, I wanted her here. Could you say hi to Laura for me, who's not feeling well today? Otherwise, we would have gotten to have her here.
Well, Laura, my darling, I want you to surround yourself in white light and just see all that dark stuff coming out, and receive the love that I'm sending you.
And that's coming from Karushka, and we are Life Changes, and we are certainly talking about life changes today. Karushka has not only changed her life many times over, she has helped so many people change their lives, and now she's out changing the world by this new show that she's got called The Cancer Answer, which debuts on Tuesday, December the 15th at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the Internet. So to learn more about that, we're going to give you a website in just a little bit here. And, of course, you can also go to our lifechanges.ws website to learn more, because we're going to be keeping up on that, as well as I'm going to be the first guest.
Yay!
And I have to say, Karushka, you know, your clothes, everybody that I've spoken to and the emails that we've gotten and all, they're so perfect. And yet you say you're not perfect, and it's interesting. And if one looks at your life and even the ups and the downs, the way you handle them, there's just such beauty and perfection. And when she came into the studio today, she had all her notes organized, and she knew exactly what she was going to say. And I, not being that kind of a host, kind of took her, you know, on different tangents. And just moments before, she took all her notes and she put them down and she just spoke from the heart, which is where all the perfectness comes from. And I have to tell you, I'm honored, because that tells me that that you feel comfortable and that you...
I love you. I loved you from the first minute I saw you. You're just a love bunny, and you're just lovable.
From the first minute you saw me in this lifetime, or...?
Well, this lifetime, yes.
Oh, okay.
And but I knew I'd known you before. Yeah. I just don't know the details.
I don't either, actually.
Yeah. But you're busy solving the problems of this world.
Well, and how are we doing that? You know, one of the things that I love that you said about the show, The Cancer Answer, and you're being the host of Hope, is that you don't have all the answers, but collectively, we do.
We all have it in us. We actually have universal knowledge in our brains. We just haven't tapped into it. We're all really very, very knowledgeable. And through my show, I am hoping with my research, life is a banquet, and most poor fools are starving to death.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to lay out a smorgasbord of cures that are natural, and it's up to you to taste them and try them.
Mm.
I can't cure you. I'm not a doctor. You can only cure yourself. But what was the question?
You're doing great.
And so that's what I feel so electrified, because I knew that my clothing and my catalogs that had positive sayings in them were affecting people, and that made me feel so wonderful inside. I have this side that just feels I was meant to be on this planet to help people. And now I'm ready for, I did baby steps until now. Now I'm ready for the mama step.
Mm.
And
you know, it took a while to get here. And I know you've had your ups and downs, and you've had cancer twice. And that was your last time. And here you are, putting yourself out there. I mean, there was a time when you thought you were done, but I think you are so far from that.
Oh, I am. I'm reinvigorated. Yes, I was ready to say, well, I guess I've done all I can do. And I had a, I guess you would say it's a viral terrorist attack on my computer system, in which it crashed, and I think $1 million of orders, and the money might have gone to Russia, I don't know where. But anyways, it was about 8 years ago. It was one of the first ones. They're more common now. And it devastated me. And I went into my own funds and paid everyone back, which devastated my bank account. But I have to live with myself.
Hmm.
And it was the right thing to do. And guess what? I'm still just fine. I still have my home and my car. And
a beautiful home and a beautiful car.
I have a green car. Yeah.
Can I say what it is? I love your car.
Yeah, I love it too.
It's an Aston Martin.
All right. Well,
and it's really
But it's green.
It's green.
And I only drive it less than 1,000 miles a year, so it's green. And
you are so funny. Okay, so that happened, and what I was alluding to earlier, it's like, you know, you receive bad news, and then one of your key employees leaves, and your computer crashed, and all that happened around the same time. It actually puts you into a funk.
A horrible funk. I went to a dark place. I'd spent a year trying to save everything. And I got skeletal thin. I couldn't eat or sleep anymore. And I just felt I didn't know what to do. I just had all kinds of people around that just wanted money to give me information that wasn't helping.
Mm-hmm.
And I got through it. And then I went to bed for 16 months in a very deep depression and exhaustion. But that was right after I was in a board meeting to say, this is it. And I leaned forward and somebody pointed to my blouse and it was covered in blood. And that's when, luckily, I had there one of my dear friends, an investment banker, who was coming to help me get out of this. And he right away said, he's known me for 30 years, Karushka's going home. And I will close out everything, negotiate all the final bills. Again, no bankruptcy. I believe in high ethics if we can do it. And I was sent to the hospital, and the next day they took out a huge lump. Now, all that came from stress. That was emotional. I was eating correctly. I was doing yoga every day. But again, the thing, a doctor told me in France once, an oncologist, I met him actually on a barge, and we were just floating along and having a nice time. And I said, what causes cancer? And he said, trauma to the cell. Happy people don't get cancer.
Wow.
So, and if you're really stressed, you're not happy.
Mm.
So that's when the only thing that got me out of the funk was sexual healing. I went wild. And actually, a young gay friend of mine came over, actually a friend's son, and said, I know,
can't wait to hear where this is going.
I know just what you need to cheer up. And he threw a party for me with the football team and everything. And and I lived it up for the next 3 years and got my health back. And so there is such a thing as sexual healing, by
there
the way.
Is. Yes. There is.
I mean, if I don't know how many of you out there really feel it, but it's not with every encounter.
Right.
Sometimes you don't get it at all in your life.
And actually, some encounters take you the other way. So sexuality is very powerful. Sex is very powerful.
Well, and love.
Love. Actually. Better
love. Yet. I mean, I have love, lots and lots of love. No, not from lots of people. There was one person in particular.
I'm sorry.
And lots of fun. Laughing. See how I'm making him laugh? I'm taking years off his life right now. And I hope if you're laughing out there, you're getting
Thank you.
Laughter is so important. And I laughed, and I came, and I laughed, and I drank, and I laughed, and I came.
Oh, my God.
And that was how I cured myself of cancer the second time.
Or him. And this is what she's going to talk about on her show.
I can say anything. That's,
yes, you can. Actually, I don't know if we can or not, but we just did.
I didn't use profanity.
No, absolutely not. On the contrary, you talked about love.
And love, sexual healing. That's
and
important.
Coming back for more love, I think, is what you were getting at.
Anyway, I had a much needed, I needed to have, I was giving so much. And by the way, I was really happy for the 20 years before that.
Our engineer just said we could say anything we want.
Oh, he did?
So there you go.
Oh, great.
So 20 years before that, what?
All right, well, after I recovered from pancreatic cancer, and I was maybe 30 or so, I came back into business, and for the next 20 years, I had beautiful harmony before the crash and what we just talked about. And that was because I had spent time healing myself and searching for a spiritual quality with all the societies in the world. And even though in most of Western civilization, fear and greed is what motivates people, I hate to admit it, there are really and truly several societies I visited where love is what motivates them. And that was Thailand and also parts of India.
Wow.
Where the poorest people, my husband dropped a very expensive cashmere scarf, and this man, that it was freezing, only had a little diaper on, came running after my husband, and my husband thought he was chasing him, kept running away, made the guy run an extra mile or something. And then he finally caught up, and he said, sir, your scarf. And my husband was so relieved, he went to give him money. He was obviously not clothed very well. And he said, oh no, it is my pleasure. Mm. And I have already, by giving it back to you, been rewarded.
Mm.
Now, that's a loving society. And it does exist. So don't think the world's coming to an end. It's not. They're just trying to make you think that.
Well, we certainly have a loving society here. And a loving mutual admiration society, I might add.
Yeah.
Between you and I, but obviously here at the show. And this is exactly what we are putting out there, Life Changes. And what it sounds like, if this is a taste of what the Cancer Answer is going to be about, it's going to be a lot of fun, laughter, and a lot of solutions that maybe people haven't thought of. A lot of honesty, a lot of truth.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just being completely myself, which I can with you. Oh, it's just wonderful. Actually, when I get a tape of this show, I'll probably be shocked at what I said, because I just let my heart go.
Well, since you did what you did on our show, just wait till you see what I'm going to do Tuesday on your show.
Oh, you Italian, you can, darling.
And I'll really be naked because it's video. Well, this has been such a delight. I have wanted you on the show for so long, and so have other members of the team. And
you had me at I Had Wanted You. You could have
stopped. I can't wait for the movie. Save me a role as one of your lovers, and we'll be friends forever. And we'll be friends forever, period. No matter how many more lives that we're gonna experience. I've enjoyed you, and I've enjoyed having you on this show. And I know that our listeners have, too, because my text messaging has been going crazy. And so have our emails, like everything that's popping up there, that's people have been commenting and have enjoyed, no, not those, have enjoyed you. You are too much. You are just too much. And I love you so much.
You.
We have been talking to what?
Nothing. I just love you so much. I mean, within the first hour of knowing you, I couldn't keep my fingers out of your hair. I don't know if you know this, but he's got the most beautiful, soft, curly hair.
Yeah, actually, the pictures that we have on the website, look at your hair and my hair. That's pretty funny, except yours is a little higher. Anyway, this has been an absolute pleasure. We've been talking to Karushka of now... of Karushka Bodywear, but now of Karushka of the Cancer Answer, and she's going to be the host with the most, and the host of hope. And give us the website.
Hostess of hope.
Okay, and the show starts Tuesday, December 15th, 2009, at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and the website
is karushka.com.
And Karushka is spelled C-A-R. Do you want to do it?
No, you'll say it. I want you to say it with feeling.
Karushka is spelled Karushka. Was it .com?
MOUSE.
Karushka. Now I don't know. What is the website?
Okay, it's www.karushka.com. And I remember Karushka, it's Rush, R-U-S-H. There's a C-A in the front and a K-A on the tail.
Oh, that's great. Steven, that's perfect.
Well, that was divine. I never said that before.
And so, really?
Yes. Oh. All this is not rehearsed, you know. I'm shooting from the shoulders.
I'm honored that you put your notes away and that we had this special moment together.
I feel like we just had sex. I feel really high.
Here we go again. Give me a hug. Don't go.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, this is so delicious. Oh, everybody, you should get this. Love is so important, and hugs are really great, too.
I will. So that means you'll come back? For more, you'll be back on our radio show soon, I hope.
Well, first you're going to come on to mine.
Yes, I look forward to seeing.
Wow. Oh, we're so naughty. Sorry, everybody. This is a serious show, I think.
No, it's not anymore. you saw the engineer send a big smiley face. You really enjoyed it. So,
all right.
Anyway,
well,
and I'm sure
I love all of you that are listening. And if you do happen to know who I am, thank you for just even acknowledging me. And thank you very much if you're a customer in the past. And I wish you all love and good health.
And they're going to be new radio listeners. So with that, please stick around. I'm going to be done here in a few minutes, and I look forward to coming out and partying more. That was Karushka of Karushka Bodywear, and now of Karushka as the hostess of Hope with her show, The Cancer Answer. And now we have our very own Dorothy Lee with a State of the Universe address, and I know that there's always hope in what you have to share as well.
That was great, Filippo. Karushka, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Isn't she awesome?
She is.
Tonight's State of the Universe address is about another cancer survivor, Gabriel Garcia Marquez, famous writer from Colombia. And the 1982 Nobel Prize winner for literature was diagnosed with terminal lymphatic cancer in 1999. He reportedly sent a farewell letter to his friends at the time of his supposed death sentence, and this letter can be found all over the internet entitled A Farewell Letter from a Genius. I say reportedly sent by him because after the treatments he underwent in LA were successful, and his illness went into remission, his impending death was incorrectly reported in a newspaper. And the next day, other newspapers republished his alleged farewell poem. However, shortly after publication, Garcia Marquez denied being the author of the poem. I personally believe he wrote the letter when he thought he was going to die, but didn't take his own advice and so refuted the claim that this was from him. However, the letter is magnificent, no matter who the author is, and I want to share it with you tonight because it's a very good blueprint for each of us to use each and every day for the rest of our lives, whether or not we are 1 or 101. So here it is. A genius says goodbye for good. If God, for a second, forgot what I have become and granted me a little bit more of life, I would use it to the best of my ability. I wouldn't, possibly, say everything that is in my mind, but I would be more thoughtful of all I say. I would give merit to things not for what they are worth, but for what they mean to express. I would sleep little. I would dream more, because I know that for every minute that we close our eyes, we waste 60 seconds of light. I would walk while others stop. I would awake while others sleep. If God would give me a little bit more of life, I would dress in a simple manner. I would place myself in front of the sun, leaving not only my body but my soul naked at its mercy. To all men, I would say how mistaken they are when they think that they stop falling in love when they grow old, without knowing that they grow old when they stop falling in love. I would give wings to children, but I would leave it to them to learn how to fly by themselves. To old people, I would say that death doesn't arrive when they grow old, but with forgetfulness. I have learned so much with you all. I have learned that everybody wants to live on top of the mountain without knowing that true happiness is obtained in the journey taken and the form used to reach the top of the hill. I have learned that when a newborn baby holds with its little hand his father's finger, it has trapped him for the rest of his life. I have learned that a man has the right and obligation to look down at another man only when that man needs help to get up from the ground. Say always what you feel, not what you think. If I knew that today is the last time that I'm going to see you asleep, I would hug you with all my strength, and I would pray to the Lord to let me be the guardian angel of your soul. If I knew that these are the last moments to see you, I would say, I love you. There is always tomorrow, and life gives us another opportunity to do things right. But in case I am wrong, and today is all that is left to me, I would love to tell you how much I love you and that I will never forget you. Tomorrow is never guaranteed to anyone, young or old. Today could be the last time to see your loved ones, which is why you mustn't wait. Do it today, in case tomorrow never arrives. I am sure you will be sorry you wasted the opportunity today to give a smile, a hug, a kiss, and that you were too busy to grant them their last wish. Keep your loved ones near you. Tell them in their ears and to their faces how much you need them and love them. Love them and treat them well. Take your time to tell them, I'm sorry, forgive me, please, thank you, and all those loving words you know. Nobody will know you for the secret thoughts. Ask the Lord for wisdom and strength to express them. Show your friends and loved ones how important they are to you. Send this letter to those you love. If you don't do it today, tomorrow will be like yesterday. And if you never do it, it doesn't matter either. The moment to do it is now. For you, with much love, your friend, Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Just imagine, when we choose to use this incredible blueprint as a way to live our lives, what a beautiful world we will co-create. A world full of love, forgiveness, bliss, and joy, gratitude. My heartfelt thanks goes out to whoever the author of this magnificent letter happens to be. And until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you have been waiting for. Choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making truly elegant choices. And never forget that you are powerful beyond measure and that you are loved, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Thank you, Dorothy. That was beautiful. And we come to a close of an incredible show, a show that I have been changed just by being and being a part of it. So I am grateful to our guest, Karushka, for bringing her love and her energy to the show. And I look forward to our guest next week, who you all will recognize his voice. His name is Shadow Stevens. Many of you will recognize that name as well, but he was known for years as Mr. Weekly Top 40 for pop songs, and his voice has been heard on radio stations all over the world. At one point, he had over 1 billion listeners. So I'm so honored that he's going to be on our show next week, and we'll get to have his voice join with mine in our life-changing moments. Remember to keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us on our website at lifechanges.ws, and connect with us also on Facebook, on our personal pages, or on our fan page. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor pages and visit our website, on our website, and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes today. I, along with our producers Dorothy Lee and Mark Leger, and our engineer Seth, thank you for joining us in being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.